All right, good evening. I would like to call the Tuesday, March 17th, 2020 regular board meeting to order. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Abram?
Here.
Mr. Varga?
Present.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here. Would everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so moving on to item 2.01, approval of the February 2018-2020 regular board meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
I'll move for that.
Moved by Board Member Varga. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second by Board Member Abram. Is there any discussion? Any changes, additions?
I wasn't here for it, but I reviewed them, and I didn't listen to the whole podcast, but it seems like it was in order.
Okay. Seeing no changes, Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Varga?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Item 2.02, approval of the February 25th, 2020 special board meeting minutes from March 17th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Board Member Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Board Member Abram. Any changes, deletions, additions to that?
You said March 17th, but you mean February 25th,
I'm
right?
Sorry. Yes, February 25th. I apologize. Yes, from the February 25th special board meeting. Okay, seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Varga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Item 3.01, approval of the March 17th, 2020 Board of Education meeting agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Board Member Varga.
Second.
Do I have a second? Second by Board Member Whitman. Any additions or deletions, changes, Superintendent Brown?
We adjusted a couple personnel items on our end. That's all we have.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Varga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Item 4.01, board members may speak on different topics at this time. I'm going to throw it immediately to Board Member Whitman and Board Member Varga as our legislative liaison, both of you, and I understand that you have something to share with us and discuss tonight. And then if you want to share anything else.
I will yield to Board Member Varga, who took the lead on this. I appreciated him doing it and was happy to work with him on it, but beyond that, I'll let you begin.
Yesterday, Representative Becky of the, I believe, 47th House District proposed emergency legislation to the House of Representatives, that is House Bill 557. This bill would allow, it's roughly a two-page bill, would allow for telecommunication or teleconferencing or video conferencing for meetings instead of mandating, essentially, that we appear. It would only apply in instances where the Director of Health, via the Governor's Office, issues a health emergency order, similar to what we are under now, and it would allow us to have no real confusion, whereas right now we're operating under an Attorney General's interpretation of the current rules for public meetings. The proposal is extremely good. The spirit of it is extremely strong. And so I reached out to Mr. Whitman immediately to suggest that we look into submitting some testimony in support of it. We did have a couple concerns with the legislation that we did provide in our testimony. Our biggest concerns were ensuring that the public generally would always be able to see, as well as ensuring that the public would be able to continue having their communications. As we are Ohio and America, we have a very strong passion for public government and for that sort of interaction. And we wanted to preserve that. So we made a couple suggestions that included allowing us to create an alternative viewing platform on our website, similar to our original plan for tonight, as well as public comment fields on the website in this scenario. The idea would not be to supersede any normal rules in normal environments, only in this emergency. Mr. Whitman did point out something that I had actually overlooked originally, and I thought was a very good point. One of the reasons that we have public attendance requirements is to ensure that there's no undue influence or duress upon any of the members that would be accessing and voting remotely. Our suggestion with that, and this again is Mr. Whitman's suggestion, is that we use pretty much primarily video conferencing in that sort of scenario, which would allow us to show not only that there is no person causing duress directly to any board member, but also could show that the board members aren't looking at anything inappropriate in terms of information or communicating in any way with outside parties during a meeting, which is generally precluded. Beyond that, our main focus was that the body would hopefully amend it, as we suggested, promptly vote on it, pass it, and give us the power for the future so that we won't be in this situation in probably a month. We want to make sure that the constitutional rights are protected. We mentioned the statutory rights, which would be your open meeting, your public comment, and minutes, all the general rules that apply under the Sunshine Laws of Ohio. And then we also included the constitutional protections of both the state of Ohio's constitution as well as those of the U.S. government. They are distinctly different, and we want to make sure that every constitutional right is protected in situations like this because that's our job.
I will add that part about you know, the reason why the teleconferencing is not allowed already is something that I learned from Ohio School Board Association with President Dunlap on that that conference back in, or that one day seminar. What was it?
Board, two board? Days, or I mean, I think about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So stuff we're learning from there, you know, coming into use here. And as for the technology, I mean, I think the technology probably does exist to have a reasonable assurance that somebody is not having, you know, unauthorized participation in the meeting there in much the same way that we have students take, you know, university students take quizzes or do interviews remotely with, you know, software to reduce cheating.
And on, as a clerical issue with this, I did note upon review this morning there were a couple little mistakes, some formatting issues. Our goal really was, it was proposed yesterday, I anticipated some sort of action today. As best I can tell, none was taken, but I do anticipate action in the near future. If this does get delayed, I would anticipate that Mr. Whitman and myself would probably edit it a little better, but our main concern was making sure we beat the 24-hour rule for testimony, and resultingly, we sent it in around 11:57 last night.
Okay, and that was one of my questions, the timeline. So it sounds like, obviously, they feel a sense of emergency with this, if you expect it to go that quickly. And then public comments,
What's the 24-hour rule?
Typically, you're supposed to supply any comments at least 24 hours before a committee would have a hearing on it. Obviously, this hasn't even been assigned to a committee. So we actually sent it to all of our representatives, the sponsor of the bill, as well as the Honorable Speaker, Larry Householder, who we did discover does represent a small little sliver of our school district. But that way we would ensure if it does go to committee or if it does go to a direct vote, that our testimony was submitted pursuant to the rules and hopefully would be considered.
And when you talked about public comment, that's real time, right?
Yeah.
All right. And you think that most districts, if there is a requirement for something like that, that all districts would be able to comply?
I would think so. Comment fields on websites have been there forever, and they're fairly easy to build. If you look at the state website, for example, they actually don't list the email addresses. So Mr. Whitman and I actually had to make sure we had the right format for those. They have a field that's automatically populated that will, of course, have your name, address, you know, the concern, telephone number, all of that.
Right.
That will then, however they do it, could generate by an email, could generate by a text message, sending it through, as well as probably storing it in a comma-separated list. Within Reynoldsburg, we have those set up currently on our website. I don't know the exact way that we gather that information, but it's not overly hard to put one there and have it facilitate to one shared person the board designates to then say, hey, you know, logically, since it would be a public record, if public comment, of course, is submitted that way, I would anticipate that any assignment would be to whoever the public records custodian is, if that person is a regular attendant. We did not give suggestions on how to do that. Our goal was to explain the spirit that we were going for, mm-hmm. our concerns, and then tell the legislature to do whatever they needed to do to get those addressed and get it done quickly so that our body, as well as other bodies, townships, city councils, Eastland Fairfields tomorrow night, basically so that we can start actually doing what we're supposed to be doing right now and still being able to continue our normal business, making sure that all of our employees, all of our students, everyone that we work with is able to get everything we normally can do.
Mm-hmm. And I see in here, too, you say allow the body. So it, my just concern is that there, you know, that there are districts who do not have as much control over their website in some smaller districts. So.
Absolutely, and that's why I did say allow.
Right. Okay.
The goal would be an alternative that the district could provide if able.
Okay. Great. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for doing that for us. I don't think anybody really anticipated something like this.
No.
So the fact that you pulled this all together and gave that support and that testimony so quick, I appreciate it, and the both of you working on it as well. Any other comments besides?
Okay, yeah, so it's unusual times here, and I wanted to express appreciation to Governor DeWine for taking the lead on Ohio's response to this in many ways, and in particular, he made, I think, you know, our job and Mr. Superintendent's job a little easier. So last Friday, when our district was still open, and around lunchtime, I was just looking to see what the CDC recommended for, you know, people to get ready, and they said, oh, here's what you ought to do if you have a K-12 school district. And I said, oh, well, that seems relevant. And they said, if you don't have any active cases yet, here's what we recommend. You know, first of all, just, you know, get a big cleaning going on there. Consider, you know, giving some people time off to do that. And then I headed out to lunch, and before I even got there, I had a text from Melvin saying, we are giving the kids a day out of school on Friday so that two things, they can do precisely that kind of deep cleaning that the CDC was recommending, and allow the teachers a day to get their act together in the event that we had to go to online learning, which, of course, we now have. So, by the way, Mr. Superintendent and your team, I appreciate you guys being on top of that as well. And I want to express the appreciation for the teachers, because I suspect it probably took more than one day to put all their lesson plans online. I know it certainly took me longer than that, and I'm teaching a lot less than they are. So whatever they've done, I appreciate that. And all the people that came in, like the essential staff, the transportation for a couple of days, and the cooks even now. Thank you all for dealing with this unusual circumstance. And finally, if there are any students out there watching this now, I want to thank all of you for your flexibility, and I think you might even see one sliver of a silver lining to this, because I was looking at the scheduled, suggested or required cadence for teachers to contact each and every one of their students. And so students, your teachers are going to be contacting you, and so when they do, when they get through on the phone or however they get through, that for that 5 minutes or 10 minutes when they can talk to you, that is your time, some one-on-one time with your teacher. So I would say take advantage of that. You know, not if you're having trouble with some stuff, great, they can help with that. But even if you're flying through all the packets you have, take that opportunity to talk with your teacher about stuff that you find interesting and ways that you can maybe make the most of this time out. So, and one final thing is tomorrow was to have been a rally for public education. In the morning, there was going to have been a Ohio School Board Association legislative update where we could all hear the latest on what's going on at the State House, and then meet with individual legislators in the afternoon, capped off by a rally at the State House in the afternoon or later afternoon to encourage the legislature to do something about the impending flood of Ed Choice vouchers that's going to have a potentially devastating impact. Well, that's been called off. But instead, it's been recommended that this be the beginning of 2 weeks of just action before April 1st, their deadline, to call your legislators and the governor and encourage people to, you know, to stand up for public education. So I'm sure you can find out more about that by Googling Rally for Public Education or Ed Choice, and that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Barga?
I don't really have a whole lot of updates this time. We did, Eastland Fairfield met last month shortly after our board meeting. There's not a whole lot of drastic changes. Obviously, in Eastland Fairfield, our kind of whole school system got upended. We did have some students who, as was publicly released, we had about 23 students and 2 staff members who were exposed to COVID-19 from a nursing home that we trained them in. Thankfully, all the students as of yesterday were cleared from quarantine, every single one of them, and all of our staff members. Everyone was tested negative. That was a very concerning aspect, considering we would have sent them there. So thankfully, that is the only real update I have for Eastland Fairfield, because that has been our primary focus. We will be meeting tomorrow. We got a couple action items on the board, but otherwise it is a standard meeting, nothing too special. As soon as I have updates on any of the events that Eastland Fairfield partners with us in, especially our drama department and that sort of thing, I will make sure that they are published and put out to the community as well as my board members here, so that we can stay updated and hopefully, as soon as possible, get back to normality. Beyond that, I really do want to thank the entirety of the board, Melvin, and pretty much everyone in our district, everyone in our entire community that is actively trying to follow the orders and stay calm and lead. There is a very big difference in what we are looking at today versus what we were looking at 2 weeks ago, just as members of the board. And I don't mean in terms of infections, I just mean in terms of what our goals and what our focus is. And that's true of the district as well. The shift as an entire community was abrupt. It obviously caused some problems, and I want to thank President Dunlap for kind of taking the lead and working with several of our partners around the community to help initiate a lot of the feedback back and forth and working with them on making sure we have different supplies. If you have not yet seen it, posted about an hour and a half ago on the district website, was Superintendent Brown's magic work in continuing that idea and actually pulling off a call center so that we can give you more information. I would love if you can update a little bit more on that during the superintendent time, but that's what we need now. The reality is we're facing something that we haven't seen since at least 1957. It's potential for that type, which would be a double peak. It has a potential for the what is what most people think of in terms of the Spanish influenza of 1918, which is a singular peak that was ongoing. These aren't times that are normal, but these are times that the Constitution as well as the laws of Ohio are designed to handle. There's a lot of things that can happen, a lot of constitutional things that can happen that are allowed. As long as due process is preserved and the writ of habeas corpus is protected, there's no real concern. I know that there's been a lot of feedback from people online. I know that there's been a lot of people who are in leadership positions who are worried about these impacts, and they are potentially fear-mongering on these impacts. That needs to stop. The reality is we need to stand united, and we need to make sure that those protections do exist. Mr. Whitman and myself included those in our legislative request, solely for that reason, because we do want public participation, because we do want to protect all of those rights. And those are protected by every order that has so far come down from the governor, and as far as I can tell, we still have some way to go under our case law. I understand that there are concerns, and those debates should be had in the future. But when it comes to this, the reaction is you make sure that you're constitutional, you make sure you go under the law, and then you do what's right. And you can deal with the other fallout later, you can look at costs later, you can have debates if we want to limit these powers later. But as long as they're currently constitutional, they should be done. And if you look at the numbers, you have a situation where we're fighting to be between South Korea and Italy. I know who I want to be with, South Korea. That's all I have today.
Thank you. Ms. Abram.
Hi, good evening. My comments are very brief. Just wanted to update you on some of the conferences that were attended since the last meeting. I did attend a school finance OSBA sponsored course where we spent a lot of time learning about how the funding is set up in the state of Ohio. We have a $13 billion budget that for our district we've been capped. So for essentially the last 6 years, we were trying to get a new formula for 2021 through the Sobel-Lunte proposals. The last time that we had our cost of special education needs looked at in the state was 2008. It's 2020 now. I think that does need to be looked at. We do have a large spec ed population across the state in addition to what we have in the district, and I do believe that that funding needs to be looked at so that we can get the adequate funding we need for all students across the district and across the state. That's my comment about school finance. Would like to extend some acknowledgement that it does take a village to raise a child, and I'd like to thank the entire Reynoldsburg Village for what they've done for our children during these trying times. There's a lot of anxiety with our students. We still need to take care of their mental and emotional health in addition to their physical and nutritional needs. So I thank the district for all the wraparound services that they're providing.
All right, thank you. I'm going to be brief tonight. We've obviously entered into uncharted territory, one that seems to change not only by the day, but by the hour, and sometimes actually by the minute. As a district, our team is working diligently and responsibly to deal with COVID-19 and the crisis, abide by directives from the state, and make responsible and empathetic decisions on behalf of our students, our staff, our community, and frankly, our nation. Because we know that this is a time to think of the big picture, how our actions will affect others, not only here in Reynoldsburg, but in Ohio and around the world. Our responsibility is to our students and our staff. They will, of course, be our number one priority. And we will do so as swiftly as we can, with as much communication as we can, with as much guidance as we can, and with as much compassion as possible. Sometimes decisions may not make perfect sense, but that's because we're operating on information and guidance that sometimes is not 100% public, but has been provided to our district leaders as they work to guide us in these very difficult times. I thank everyone for their patience and their understanding as we navigate this very winding and rocky road. It's very uncharted. I want to thank the administration, the time, the dedication, and again, the compassion that you all have felt and as you deal with this and try to meet the needs of our students has been absolutely amazing, and I can't even fathom what you have been going through. Our teachers, our support staff, our bus drivers, cooks, maintenance staff, everyone has gone above and beyond their normal responsibilities and duties to make sure that our kids are safe, as you said, Ms. Abram, both mentally and physically. One thing that I wanted to point out is that, you know, we really need to do all of this together as a team and a district, and as a community. One last note, I'd like to ask parents to please talk to your children about what's going on. They've heard things, they may not understand everything. They're trying to weigh what is right, what is wrong. Have an open discussion, depending on their age, with them, and talk about their feelings. And make sure to remain calm while you do that so that they remain calm and they're looking to you for that guidance. I always remember riding on a plane with my children. I hate flying, and I'm a white knuckler. And boy, when I had kids, I all of a sudden became very brave, and I had to do that for my children so they felt that sense of safety and security. And that's exactly what we are trying to provide for them. It's not false. So everyone be healthy, be safe, and please be smart. Thank you. All right, moving on to item 4.02, committee reports. We have athletics and we have outcomes. So who's taking the lead on either one of those? Okay. All right. Would you like to start?
Sure. We met on February 20th, where we discussed the new sizing of our growth in the district, our special ed spacing, and where we're looking at moving towards in the five-year forecast. And you know, we have a lot of things in good standing. There are a couple of areas that we need to continue to do some working sessions on to determine what's the best direction that we need to move in. I don't know if there's any particular highlights that you care to add, but I'm keeping most of my comments brief.
Mm-hmm. Understand. Okay. Any questions or comments? All right. Athletics, is that you, Mr. Barga?
Yeah. As it relates to athletics, we met earlier and we discussed some concerns that were raised with the committee. Those concerns we've asked to get a little bit more information on. And at this point, that's the only place we're prepared to make any sort of comment because we'd like to continue to gather information and actually get an understanding of what's been reached out to us about. Beyond that, we did receive an update on the scoreboard. There are some slight concerns still with making sure we get all the funding, but it does seem that Mr. Perkins is fairly confident we're going to pull it off, and I'm very excited about that. It's been far too long since we got a new one. This is our second go-round, so I'm hoping to get this one signed and actually put in the ground this time. Other than that, as you know, the committee continues to meet and discuss, we will update the board, obviously, and see what else we have to do.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
About outcomes and athletics. So a district parent recently showed me some pictures of some rusty or otherwise in poor shape benches at a baseball field, and I mentioned it to you, mm-hmm. Madam President, and you mentioned that there's sort of an interesting intersection of some things that are both athletics related and buildings and grounds. Looking at Chris and I was thinking buildings and grounds.
Unfortunately, buildings and grounds has not met yet. Yes.
Okay. But I know you were saying that, we need to sort of think consciously about, what to do when things happen to come up in one committee meeting or the other to make sure you're not duplicating the work or letting stuff fall through the cracks. So
An understanding in one realm is also the understanding on the other committee as well. So, yeah. Yes.
So whoever's, on each of those, maybe just make make it a systemic regular thing that there's communication between
yes.
those two committees and not necessarily just, here.
Yes. Agreed.
I would have to obviously ask the superintendent to help facilitate mm-hmm. that communication, especially in committees where one member might be shared between them mm-hmm. because we run serious risks at that point of round robining.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Completely agree. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on then to item 5.01, superintendent may speak on different topics at this time. Superintendent Brown.
Thank you. I'll be fairly brief, but I'd be completely remiss without sending some thanks to a whole lot of people. I'll start with Governor DeWine. I do appreciate the action and the leadership that's been taken. It has allowed us as school folks to put in place things that serves our community, our kids and our families. So I'm really, really pleased with that process. In fact, we've been given so much information in so timely a fashion that we've been able to adjust. I'd like to thank our staff, our administrative staff, our teachers, our support staff, our REA, RSSA, the untold numbers of people on staff who've done some incredible work and been very flexible and cooperative while we're trying to navigate this situation and still taking care of our community, but also taking care of all of our employees. I can't say how I'm so proud of the way people have seen this as a team effort to make things happen. We talk a lot about the fact that no one person is more important than anybody else, and it's very, very evident in this process. So I'm very thankful to that, to everyone here. Thank you to our community for understanding and being flexible in this process as well. Yes, in many ways, like other districts, we're putting the plan together as it's in the air. There will be some things that won't necessarily go exactly the way we'd like them to go, but I'm quite certain we'd be able to put things in place in a way that can help facilitate something that will work well for everyone. We did set up a support line for our community that's ready to go live tomorrow morning at 8:30. If there are residents, community members who have issues in their homes, such as they're quarantined and don't have any food, or they need to connect to a particular service, we want to be able to be a conduit to help facilitate some of that. You can call 614-501-1020. That will be manned from 8:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and that would include spring break next week. The basic goal of that is to allow us to receive information from our families and then try to identify resources that are in the community who can then circle back to those families. Just one more level of support we can try to provide to our community. Our kids being fed every day, that was a priority from day one. I'm extremely excited about what our food service department has done to facilitate that process. And I would imagine over the course of the next few weeks, we'll be coming up with a whole lot of other things that need to be concocted so we can make sure everyone is serviced in good stead. Obviously, according to the governor's instructions, we intend, as of today, to open school on April 6th. I will publicly say I'm doubtful of that happening, but we will see how that plays itself out. We're following the governor each day in his press conferences. We watch those as a cabinet so we can have a firm understanding and a universal understanding of how to apply that. And it's been daunting. There's a lot of work has been put in. So I'm really, really pleased and proud of the work that's been done. I think that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I mean that very, very sincerely. Thank you. Moving on to item 6.0, our finance section. We have a number of items. So 6.01, 6.02, 6.03, 6.04, and 6.05 are all on for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Board Member Whitman. Do I have a second? Second by Board Member Abram. Tammy, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Our typical stuff is on tonight. The approval of the February month-end financial reports are on for approval. We do have a handful of advances to some of our federal grants. We have a few grants that will be closing out this year in order to get the purchase orders on and get all the invoices paid. We're going to do some additional grants, and then, of course, those will be paid back to the general fund once the federal money comes in. Along that lines, we have received updated allocations from the Ohio Department of Education for a number of our grants, so we've modified our appropriations so that they agree to our updated allocations. We have a couple of donations on tonight. The Wilford Pickerington Rotary Club donated dictionaries to each second grader throughout the district. The teachers at Slate Ridge collected money and donated it to the Washington, D.C. trip. And Flying Football Fanatics donated $100 to Rose Hill for student incentives. Also on tonight is the resolution that we do every year in March. And this is we do this for the county auditor. We send this back to them. It allows us to collect our taxes. And these are taxes that they're estimated will be collected starting January of 2021. What typically happens is as we get updated valuations, they will modify the rates, and we do the modification in February. So you may remember we had a resolution in February modifying the calendar year 20 rates. We're required by law to approve these in March for next year, and then we typically come back in next February and modify them.
Okay. All right.
And that's all that I have for tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? All right. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Varga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Personnel, a number of items up there for approval as well, 7.01, 7.02, 7.03, 7.04, and 7.05 are all up for action. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Abram. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Second by Mr. Varga. Superintendent Brown, I'll let you take this one.
Sure, just a couple of highlights. Pleased to award our Student Improvement Incentive Awards to our administrators with the equivalent of our performance bonus for our teachers. Mm-hmm. You have listed there the administrators who will be receiving that award. And I also want to say a thank you and a congratulations to Barbara Iben, a bus driver, who will be retiring at the end of the year. Thank you so much for your service and what you provided to our district. We hope to see you back here soon so we can really enjoy the work that you do. And congratulations on your retirement.
All right. Any questions or comments?
I would just like to say briefly that a lot of the things that are kind of in this section as well as the previous section are the regular occurrences. We do these all the time on a board, but this sort of thing is exactly why Mr. Whitman and I submitted our testimony earlier. We would like to be able to continue, you know, boards. We can do emergency actions a lot easier, per se, than we can do these, because we don't necessarily delegate all the authority in January to our superintendent for things that we do regularly. We delegate a lot of power, we delegate a lot of choices, we delegate bidding options and other choices like that. But, you know, bonuses for teachers, bonuses for administration, paternity leave, everything we do here is usually going to be done at that month. And for teachers that rely on these, for teachers that look at this thing, or just for their maternity leave, or an exception of resignation, that's essential for them to be able to continue, you know, their lives without any impact. And so I'm very grateful for the superintendent with everything that he's been doing up to his limit outside of regular meetings so that we can continue to make sure our staff and our students and everyone involved in the district is able to continue. But these sorts of things are why we have meetings tonight and why, you know, we still have to do this, because we can't put our teachers' lives on hold. And we need to make sure that, you know, everyone is able to pay their rent, everyone is able to rely on what they've been promised 2 weeks ago before anyone knew this would hit. And so that's, I just want to make that very clear that these meetings aren't just flippantly being held when we're in this sort of situation. Mm-hmm. We're looking at this stuff to make sure that we're impacting as few lives as possible and not actually harming anyone in the process.
Absolutely. Well said.
Thank you.
I wanted to congratulate the people who the administrators who earned the incentive award here. Any comments on how, you know, what kind of things you were seeing or how, you know, the process?
Based on student growth data within their buildings.
Okay.
And they also have to submit applications with all of the requisite responsibilities they're taking care of that would demonstrate their qualification for such an award.
Okay.
All right.
Well, congratulations to them. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Varga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Stone?
Aye. Motion passes. Moving on to curriculum and programs. Here also we have a number of items that are up for action tonight. Item 8.01, 8.02, 8.03, 8.04, and 8.05, all those items are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Abram. All right. Superintendent Brown, I think we have a little
sure.
bit of something to talk about because obviously travel's
sure.
on our mind.
Yeah.
First, the items that are field trips, essentially, that will be scheduled for the school district. We decided to go ahead and put them on and get them approved just in case we have an opportunity to come back to school and kids are going to be able to go on those trips. If we're in school, we're going to go on those trips. So having bringing them tonight for approval allows those things to happen. We also have the program of study, our course catalog, which will be for course selection for next year. For approval, so our kids will be able to select what their schedules will look like next year. Because although we're in the midst of a bit of a suspension here for this year, we still have to think about next
right.
year. So that's also on the docket. And then finally, our summer school programs, that is also being set up. Some of this may be subject to change based on whatever guidance we get from the governor's office and from the Ohio Department of Education. But as of now, those are the proposed summer school programs we have in place.
I appreciate it because it would be very difficult to put this on hold and play catch-up later. Better to make plans now and adjust later. And as far as those three trips, so we have fourth graders to Cincinnati, we have Cuyahoga National Park, and fourth graders to 4-H camp that I do believe is right here in Ohio, right? So these are school-sponsored trips.
Yes.
So it would be the district. Who would make that call if we are going to cancel?
Couple, it would depend. The governor may make that call for us. We would then work with those organizations to make cancellations if that did not happen and we had to make them ourselves. In any of these cases, these are trips that happen every year with the exception of the Cincinnati trip, which is new. The other trips happen every year and those organizations work really, really cooperatively with us.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
To make sure I understand, we all know that, you know, that it's possible and maybe even probable that some or all these trips will end up not happening.
Correct.
But it's better to approve them now and then cancel them later if we need to than to try to do the reverse.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then as for the program of study, I was looking over that and maybe I just missed this in previous years, but I flipped over to one page and all of a sudden saw lots of Nepali writing. I said, wow, look at that. And then the next page, it looked like it was maybe Somali.
That was new this year.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then once I got into the actual courses and stuff, it was all in English, but I'm assuming somewhere in there it was like instructions for how you can find out what the course is.
We're trying to be as accessible as possible for all our constituents. To the highest degree we possibly can. So that feature in that program of study we're pretty proud of, happy it's there, and want to look to continue to expand it.
So what languages are in there?
God, I should have known you were going to ask me that. Off the top of my head, I cannot answer that.
Okay.
But there are a multitude.
And who translated them?
Our ESL department.
Okay. Well, way to go. All right. And I want to highlight one thing to those out here who with high school age kids this year or maybe next year who are considering some of the College Credit Plus classes. Last year when I was in the Outcomes Committee, I think this is where these discussions came up, was that it's great that you can sign up for, you can get college credit right now, especially like at the Columbus State College campus right at our Livingston campus. But there's also a risk that if they don't get enough students enrolled in those classes, then they'll have to cancel them. And sometimes they've had to cancel them. And that kind of throws a wrench into high schoolers', you know, semester plans. And of course, nobody's happy about it. But what I said, it is what it is, but let's put it in this course of study. So in there I saw a yellow highlighted thing saying exactly this. These courses are subject to cancellation if they can't find the staff to teach them or if they don't have enough enrollment. So go in there with your eyes open. Hopefully get as much benefit out of it as you can, but you know, be prepared that, you know, it might not always come to pass. Mm-hmm.
Be flexible, that seems to be the name of the game lately,
yep.
Right?
I do have two things I'd like to say. The first is mm-hmm. the Lord of Balloons is Mr. Whitman. I was very excited to see that, and that's one of those things that, as a board as well as administration, we've been focusing a lot on lately as our populations are changing and we're getting a lot more people with either a second native language themselves, or sorry, a first native language that is in English themselves, or parents and grandparents in that situation, and we want to make sure, you know, everyone's able to get that homework help from their parent. And so we need to make sure you have the lesson plans in multiple languages. And I know that we've focused a lot on the translation services that we've brought in. About every other board meeting, we're adding more. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is a very nice culmination of all that and kind of showing that as a community, we consider every single member of our community to be equal and deserving of the exact same opportunities. And I want to really, really thank you for making sure we got that done this year, since we've been making it a focus since August, kind of last year when we started pushing hard on it. And I'm very appreciative of that. And I think the more we do that, the better it is for all of our students and our entire community. The other thing I want to focus on, and I'm not really sure on this, what is the investment for each of these trips that we would be asking the students to make? Is there
any? I could not tell you off the top of my head. I don't think it's very much. So looking at the cost for Cincinnati, it's $2.34 a student. Cuyahoga National Forest.
One of them I thought was $45.
No cost to students. And the 4-H camp is $45 per student.
I mean, obviously, I agree with the logic behind pushing these now. It's a lot easier. My only concern is a situation where we do have to cancel them, and we have students where that $45 is a significant amount of money. And, you know, I want to make sure that we are emphasizing that. We'll find a different use for that eventually. And I mean, like, you know, if it goes into the summer, we'll get them out there in the summer. We'll make sure that they get what they're investing before we approve it.
And if there are refunds and things of that nature are associated, we reach out to companies fairly early so we can understand what that's going to look like.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I think that's actually been changing a little bit depending on, you know, the crisis that's been going on. We're finding that some companies might be a little bit more flexible.
Some of them may be moved at some point. Like the Cuyahoga National Forest. They know kids are going to come. I don't think they're going to be really worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these particular trips are in pretty good shape.
Okay. All right. If that's everything, Madam Treasurer, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Morga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Let's move on to item 8.06, which is up for discussion. This is the split start information for next year, I do believe.
As you know, each year we gradually bring kids at each level in, so we don't get all 7,800 of our kids on the first day of school. This basically just mimics what we've done for the past few years in terms of staggering what those starts look like.
Okay. No changes?
No. No significant changes at all. Dates, of course, but
that's right. Fine. Absolutely. So. All right. Any other questions or comments? All right. So moving on then to item 9.01, policy update. There was policy 8210. There we go. That is up for action tonight. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Neil Whitman. Do I have a second? Second by Robert Barga. All right, Superintendent Brown,
sure. Can you
tell us a little bit about this, what the changes are?
This policy already exists, but what we've been able to do is also update it to include our current predicament where we've had to go to online learning.
Mm-hmm.
This basically just folds that into the policy.
Okay. Can I just ask one thing? So when I'm looking at that, I can't tell what the changes are and if there are changes. Can we get it highlighted in yellow?
I thought we'd sent it out that way before, but we can do that.
Okay. I thought we had done that, and so, but then sometimes being on policy committee, you know, but this one I know what we pushed this one through, so, okay.
Well, I mean, if it's fresh enough in your mind, what parts are the new parts? Could we just put it up on the screen there and read it out?
Well, I don't need to personally, you know.
Let me for
I'm looking
those
at
who might
something.
Be watching and don't want to go digging
right.
around.
Right.
Okay.
But it sounds like we are changing this in response to our current crisis of, in our dilemma, children at home and working not only online but also with as what we've been so fondly calling blizzard packs.
Yes.
Even though it's not snowing anymore.
We're calling instructional
packs. Okay.
I can't find a specific piece of that, but basically that's really all it does is yeah. authorize us to do that.
Okay, great. All right. Any other comments or questions? Madam Treasurer, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes.
If I could add, those languages that are in the course of study are Spanish, Somali, and Nepali.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Oh, I recognize them all. Okay.
All right, moving on to business and operations, and this is a long one tonight, but I know there was a lot that we needed to get approved tonight. So up for actions is item 10.01, 10.02, 10.03, 10.04, 10.05, 10.06, 10.07, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, and 13, all up for action. That's a large group. Do I have a motion? Moved by Mr. Barker. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. All right. Take it away, Mr. Reed.
I do want to make one comment about Ms. Ogden. I failed to give this information to Superintendent Brown, but she drove her first bus for the district on August 24th, 1998.
Wow.
So, fantastic person. So, we hope to see her back before this goes full retirement. So, the majority of these are E-rate, which is why they are time sensitive. E-rate is the federally funded technology parts of the district. But 10.01, we spoke about this last month. This is a competitive bid, combination of it for a number of schools. This is awarding that bid to CMT Design. This is grant funded. And then we'll get through 10.02 through 10.010. 0.02 is our connection to Meta Solutions. They service our fiscal software. So that connection is for that. That being said, once eFinance Plus is completely migrated, we will be re-looking at this connection.
And we'll be able to do that at no matter when that falls?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if this was bound to any particular calendar year or fiscal year.
That integration is going to take some time.
Okay.
So 10.03 is our Palo Alto Firewall maintenance agreement. Firewall, it's obviously incoming and outgoing internet traffic. 10.04 is our wireless infrastructure. Again, that's our wireless infrastructure, so that's all of our hotspots. That's also our UPS backups, our battery backups throughout the district. 10.05 is our wired infrastructure throughout the district. 10.06 is our 5 gigabyte district-wide internet connection. 10.07 is our actual firewall itself, not to be confused with 0.03, which is its actual maintenance of that firewall. That is not E-rateable, but that is within the budget, within the technology budget. 10.08 is some UPS backups, battery backups out at our Rillsburg High School Summit campus. There's no more E-rate money for the Summit campus on this last round, so this is also within budget.
Okay.
And then 10.09 is our wireless infrastructure redundant controller. I could give a little bit more info on that, but it's confusing. Again, not E-rateable, but is within our budget. And then 10.10 is the Clever Touch boards to finish up the entire district with Clever Touch boards in every building. So that would be Herb Mills, Wagner Road Junior High, Hannah Ashton, and some locations here and there throughout the district where we've got to fill in some blank rows.
Okay.
10.11, this is memorializing our current use of ABM in some of our buildings where we lost custodians to attrition. We've been doing it. This is just memorializing that. 10.12 is the approval of the Fieldhouse roof restoration with Tremco. This is a old roof. It's the original. After further inspection, the amount of money to fix the problem was going to be more than just restoring it. And it wasn't necessarily guaranteed, but this does come with a limited warranty. So there's at least a sum of warranty behind that. And lastly, 10.13 is surplus items. We've got some out-of-date food service items. Can't use them, can't sell them. Some point-of-sale stuff and some other cooking pieces of cooking.
All right, any questions?
Yeah, so there's a lot of mention of, you know, E-rate here and things that are E-rateable. I remember learning about E-rate when I was on the Outcomes Committee. It took me a little while to wrap my head around it, and now that I'm not on the Outcomes Committee, I need a refresher. And if I need a refresher and I've learned about it before, I know that people who are watching this and hear E-rate and E-rate and E-rateable might not... Could you kind of explain a little bit about what it is? It's, sure. It's not a financial services, you know, e-trade like thing.
Right. E-rate is the government mode so any of us who use a cell phone, part of our taxes go to E-rate. And that federally controlled money goes towards these specific costs at school districts. It goes towards infrastructure and internet connectivity and those types of things. And that is solely what it's for. It's an 80-20. We spend 20%, they pay 80%. So it's well worth the money.
Okay, thank you.
But it sounds like there is a limit to that money.
There is. Mm-hmm. There is. They run in cycles where this is the last year of this cycle, so we'll be starting a new cycle next year.
Great.
Do we have surplus funds we can use for the other schools then? That might be...
No.
Okay.
No, because it sounds like we've run out, but you've budgeted for the other couple of things Okay. And what about the Clever Touch? You know, what has been the response now that we have these in almost every school?
They love them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a teacher, but I see them being used a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And very differently at every level. So it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. But they've been very well received, and I think they're being utilized very well throughout the district. Mm-hmm.
So because they're much more... interactive,
completely.
Right?
Much more interactive.
Like a computer on the wall.
It works seamlessly with Google Classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a great tool for us to have.
Okay. And Superintendent Brown, you sound like you were giving that the exclamation point.
I don't have to connect to it in order to make things happen. We can do it all wirelessly. And at the same time, have options to do it with a wire with someone who may be coming in to give a presentation or what have you. The ease, the convenience, the resolution,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to say that's one of the biggest things that I've seen is the resolution, because sometimes it's very difficult when you're in a classroom.
Yeah.
The old smart boards, you know, the light might be going low or you're turning down, you're trying to block out the sun, and not even any direct sun, mm-hmm. It's just some sunlight in your classroom. And these, that's one, and the connectivity too. That I've seen that seems to be definitely a plus. So good. That's good to hear. Made a good move there. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
For the food service for 10.01,
yes.
With that grant, do you have to, is it going to be used in totality?
Yes. It's a very specific grant.
Okay.
Yes. Wendy has received that grant, I think, for the past 4 years, which has been able to get us very nice combination of those. And I think this finishes out every building. So.
Okay.
Nice.
That actually, it's not on this, but that made me think of it in terms of getting new ovens and stuff. I assume that the Summit Learning Lab got all of its equipment. Okay. I hadn't followed up, and since you hadn't told us otherwise, I had expected, but just popped it up. Thank you.
All right. Seeing nothing further. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Varga.
Aye.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Abram.
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye. Motion passes. We had so many there, we kind of forgot where we were. Are we roll calling? Yes. So, 11.01, motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Abram. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Abram? Aye. Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Varga?
Stay safe out there, guys. Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I've been reviewing Robert's rules.